valuable to the church, and we'll be forwarding that to a ministry that is helping with the tornado relief in Kentucky and other areas. Next Sunday, Ralph Miller will be preaching. Some of you know Ralph. I understand he grew up in this congregation, so he'll be preaching. And then also Jess Singer asked me to announce this morning a praise that Jonathan Abrams had been in the hospital for a while now, set as a goal getting discharged and home for Christmas. And he went home in a wheelchair, but he was home for Christmas. So she asked me to share that this morning. Bob Noel has an announcement this morning.
Good morning, everybody. This past Tuesday evening, church board met with the December meeting, and there was two items that the board approved, but we'll also need the congregation for approval. So we are going to be holding a special council meeting on January 7th, immediately following the morning worship service. The first item would be to approve the search committee. Those on the committee would be David Dubble, Susie Dundor, Donald Hickernell, Kim Horm, Jennifer Hostetter, Mark Landis Jr., Kevin Wenrick, and Kim Wenger. The other item would be to amend the budget. Two items on the budget line item was originally put in for the chancel choir director and the bell choir director at $1,200. The proposal would be to amend that to $2,400. So that's all we have on as far as the board report. Look forward to seeing everybody, and a reminder again for January 9th. Thank you.
Thank you. baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. And I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing. To find a place for you, we're coming soon. And there was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah!
By night, to see this baby wrapped in light, a host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. And gold and myrrh they gave to you and cried out, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew is hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
What a powerful version of that song. I've never seen that or heard those words. That was a really awesome version. Now for the scripture, I'm going to read Luke 2, 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's stand and join in the hymn, "Good Christian Men Rejoice." Sorry if you didn't hear that. We're going to hear from the praise team. The first song, you can remain seated. Then the second song, we're going to ask you to stand up and join us. Strong and mounts the song.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here this morning, here to praise you and worship you. As the Christmas season is coming to an end, may we continue all year long to think about the ultimate gift that you gave us, sending your Son, Jesus, to earth, and then having him die on the cross for our sins. We are just so, so unworthy, but you love us anyway. Thank you so much for all of our blessings. We truly all are so blessed. You provide us with so much to be thankful for. May we give you the very, very best of our time, talents, and resources. Thank you for the tithes and offerings collected, that they may be used in ways that are pleasing to you, Lord. Please be with those that are sick. Lay a comforting hand on them and their loved ones. Be with those who have lost loved ones. Give them strength and comfort. Please be with those going through tough times in their lives. May they seek guidance and strength through you. Help us to trust in you and to be obedient, Lord. Let us put our faith in you. You always, always know what's best for us. Now let's quiet our minds and open our hearts so that we can be receptive to the message today. You are an awesome God. May we praise and worship you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now if the children want to come up for a children's message.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? You awake yet? Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas yesterday? Yeah, what was special about yesterday? Anybody tell me what was special about yesterday?
I got these new boots.
New boots? New boots. The ones you're wearing. Very nice. Yes. Cameron?
Family came over.
Family came over. Yeah, that happened at my house too. It was crazy. But it was fun. We enjoyed it. Caitlin, Cameron, Carter, want to say anything? You got a bunch of stuff? Yeah. Did you get some stuff too, Caitlin? Yeah. I got a few things too. Well, a question for you. Is Christmas over?
No.
No. Why isn't Christmas over?
Because
the candles didn't go out. Yeah, those candles are still lit. Yeah. I like that answer. Yes, because the candles didn't go out. Anybody else have any ideas? Well, I like what you said there, Peyton, because the candles didn't go out. The light didn't go out, did it? Okay? And the Christmas is not over. Christmas goes all the way until we celebrate Christmas again next year, and it goes on after that, and it goes on after that, because the candles never go out. The light never goes out. Jesus is the light, and Jesus is with us all the time, all year round, from day to day, and he's lighting the way for us, and he is just walking with us and teaching us new things every day. So we just need to be paying attention to the things that he's doing for us every day. And you're right, the candles never go out. The light never goes out. The light of Jesus never goes out. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you for these children. Thank you for the fact that your light never goes out. The light of Jesus is always with us. So we thank you and praise for that. Praise you for that. Pray that you'll be with each of these children each and every day, that you'll know, that they will know you are walking with them. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can go to Children's Church.
Thank you.
our second scripture. It's taken from Titus 3, 4 to 7. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And now for the morning message.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. And no, it's not Santa Claus that's coming to town. According to some financial experts, a great transfer of wealth is coming to town. Cam Marston, of the consulting firm Accenture, says the oldest of the baby boomers, that's my generation, by the way, have started to pass along their life savings to their heirs, a process that's going to continue now for several decades. Marston says this great wealth transfer will be around $30 trillion. That's more cash than Santa could carry in his sleigh. That's trillions of dollars that will be moving from the oldest generations to the younger ones, the grandchildren, the children, the great-grandchildren. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. So those of you in the younger generations, you better be good if you want to stay in the will and be part of this grand inheritance. Well, while most of us probably won't, while most of us probably appreciate gifts of money, our day after Christmas scripture lesson speaks of another kind of wealth. In his letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul says that God sent Jesus to be our Savior, and because of his gift, we will inherit eternal life. No Christmas cash, but a different kind of inheritance. Because of Jesus, we've been given an inheritance of eternal life, a great transfer of wealth from heaven. The problem is, I think many of us are not quite prepared to handle an inheritance, be it in an earthly one or a heavenly one. Recent studies have shown that many heirs quickly dispense with the wealth they have received, blowing through the cash like kids in a candy store. And Jay Zagorski, an economist at Ohio State, says a third of people who receive an inheritance blow through their windfall within 2 years, and in fact find themselves in debt. The story for many heirs is not rags to riches, but rags to riches and back to rags again. And if we're going to buck this trend, I think we need to learn how to handle an inheritance, both an earthly one and one that is ours from God, the one that was delivered to us on that first Christmas morning. You know, across our country, especially this time of year after Christmas, many people are struggling with debt, and they don't see a way out of it, so they play the lottery, or they hope that somebody's going to pass on to them this significant amount of cash. But like with an inheritance, studies show that the more money people win in things like the lottery, the more likely they are to end up broke. In a similar way, many people feel caught up in sinful and self-destructive behaviors and addictions and don't know how to escape them. And whether our struggles are financial or spiritual, we need help. So the answer to both our financial and spiritual need is found in God's salvation. In Titus 2:11, Paul said, "The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." Jesus came to bring us salvation, a gift which God has offered to us, not because of the things we have done, but because of his mercy. And unlike those gifts from Santa Claus, our salvation isn't based on whether we've been naughty or nice. Instead, it comes as a gift rooted in the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, This gift of salvation and eternal life is given out of the mercy and love of God and is available to anyone who places faith in and trusts in God's Son, Jesus. Now, while the probability of God sending you a financial windfall is unlikely, there are biblical principles that can help you get your financial house in order. Ministries like Crown Financial Ministries or Everence offer financial advice based on biblical principles. But the salvation God sent us through Jesus at Christmas is what gets our spiritual house in order. In the 20th and 21st chapters of the book of Revelation, John speaks of the two alternatives of the final judgment, the lake of fire for those whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, or God's new heaven and new earth, where there is no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, the inheritance, if you will, for those who choose to follow the Lamb, Jesus, the one whose birth we celebrated yesterday. And God offers us this salvation out of his love and mercy, not because of the things we have done. God promises us an inheritance in heaven. And that doesn't mean a boring, endless existence. Above all, it means life forever in the presence of God and his love, his peace, and his joy, as opposed to the alternative of life forever separated from God. In Revelation 21, John writes of a new heaven and a new earth, a holy city coming down out of heaven to the earth. One of my favorite books is Surprised by Hope by N.T. Wright. And in that book, he says of the inheritance that awaits those whose faith is in Christ. He writes, the living God will dwell with and among his people, filling the city with his life and love and pouring out grace and healing from the river of life that flows from the city out to the nations. There's a sign here of the future project that awaits the redeemed in God's eventual new world. So far from sitting on clouds playing harps, as people often imagine, the redeemed people of God in the new world will be the agents of his love, going out in new ways to accomplish new creative tasks, to celebrate and extend the glory of his love. So if you're looking forward to sitting on a cloud in eternity, I don't think it's going to happen. You're going to be busy doing the work of God, sharing his love, sharing his creative work in the new world that he's creating. God saves us from the endless struggles of this life, promising us an inheritance in heaven. That certainly doesn't mean a boring and endless existence. What an inheritance we have received, a gift named Jesus, more valuable than any gift of money or stocks or things. But the question for us is, how do we handle this inheritance? Well, first of all, I believe by remembering who we are in Christ. We're Christmas children, children of God, and the birth of Jesus makes this possible. We're much less likely to waste our spiritual inheritance if we remember that we are children of God and by the Holy Spirit in us, eternally connected to Jesus. Remembering that we're forgiven, reborn, and renewed in Christ helps us to hold on to this precious gift. The reformer Martin Luther led a challenging and stressful life. And for years, he battled the prevailing religious authorities of the time and spent time in the safety of Wartburg Castle. He fought loneliness and depression. And when he experienced the trials and the hardships, Luther would comfort himself by writing these words, "Remember, Martin, you have been baptized." These words helped him to remember who he was, and even more importantly, whose he was. His baptism reminded him that he had been reborn and renewed, saved by grace through his faith in Jesus Christ. He knew in the words of Paul's letter to Titus, that God's Spirit is generously poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Remembering his baptism helped Martin Luther to handle this inheritance. The same can be for us. Remembering our baptism, who we are and whose we are in Christ, reminds us that God's Spirit has been poured out on us richly. And it gives us the assurance that we've been justified by grace, and it marks us as an heir, giving us the hope of eternal life. And as heirs, we have the challenge of handling our inheritance well. We don't want to blow it like so many recipients of financial windfalls. Jesus shouldn't be treated like some Christmas gifts are, received ostensibly with gratitude, but then tomorrow returned for something else or thrown into a closet and forgotten. Instead, as God's heirs, we seek to see the great value in God's gift of Jesus all through the year, all through our lives, as we continually experience the forgiveness, rebirth, renewal, and the hope of eternal life through him. Confession of faith and baptism is the vital first step to claiming your inheritance. Through your confession of faith and baptism, you're a child of God. Remember who you are because of your baptism. And secondly, I think we handle our spiritual inheritance responsibly when we practice some Christmas spirituality. To put it in financial terms, we invest it. We invest it first in ourselves, and then we invest it in others. A May 2016 article in The Atlantic magazine reported that researchers who followed a group of HIV-positive men and women over the course of 17 years found that people who engaged in spiritual practices and thinking had a greater rate of survival than people who did not, 2 to 4 times greater. What did they mean by spiritual practices and thinking? Well, I think practices such as praying, meditating on scripture, regularly attending worship, and spiritual thinking, meaning an attitude of gratefulness to God and believing that God forgives our wrongdoing. In other words, the kind of practices and thinking that go along with believing you're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a Christmas spirituality, remembering that Jesus is God in the flesh, so he understands us and knows what we experience because he experienced it too. Believing that we are not children of this world's darkness, but we're children of light. Rejoicing in the gifts with which God blesses us each and every day. Living with an attitude of gratitude for the grace of God that's been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. We first invest this godly inheritance in ourselves, but then also in others. In the verses that follow in Titus 3, Paul recommends that those who have trusted in God should avoid foolish controversies and devote themselves to doing what is good. Sometimes we fall into the trap of engaging in foolish controversies. Some of the ones we might engage in today, things which we might argue about in light of Christ's coming and our inheritance in him, are trivial by comparison. Maybe sometimes we argue about politics, or in the church, maybe money or worship or music styles. So often those foolish controversies Paul's talking about are not based on biblical principles, but rather on personal opinions, pride, love of power, or an unwillingness to listen to others. Such controversies, Paul says, are unprofitable and useless. So we should avoid those controversies which distract our attention and energy from sharing the good news of salvation in Christ. As heirs of God, we invest our inheritance when we devote ourselves to doing good. We invest our inheritance when our lives reflect the love that we've experienced in Christ in our love for others. avoiding foolish controversies, and sharing God's love and the good news of God's love for us in Christ and others, these are things that are excellent and profitable to everyone. Handling a financial inheritance well, we might think to put it in a place where it would earn interest, where it would multiply, where it would be profitable for us. We should do the same with our spiritual inheritance. Our energy should go into the things that are most beneficial and most profitable for the greatest number of people. In Romans 12, Paul lists some ways we can do that. He says, contribute to the needs of the saints. In other words, in the church, we help each other when we see a brother or a sister in need. Then he says, extend hospitality to strangers. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You preserve and grow a spiritual inheritance by investing it and making it profitable, by investing it in ourselves so we will grow towards spiritual maturity and devotion to God, and then investing it in others as we seek to do good and as we share the good news of Jesus with others. Do you recall what the shepherds did after they saw the newborn king? After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. We invest our inheritance when we share what we've been given in Christ with others. I think those few verses in Paul's letter to Titus really pull together what Christmas is all about. God has given us a gift, a Savior, Jesus Christ. God has done this out of his great mercy because he loves us and desires us to be in communion with him. And when we accept God's gift of Jesus, our sins are washed away and we're given new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Through this cleansing, new birth and new life, we become God's children and heirs of this blessing of eternal life, and really abundant life here and now as well. So what are you going to do with your Christmas windfall? Scripture instructs us to invest this amazing inheritance, both in our own lives and in the lives of others. The message of Christmas is not that we simply have received an amazing gift, but it's about how we grow that gift in our own lives, and then how we go about sharing that gift with people around us. The best way to handle your spiritual inheritance is to first invest it in yourself, and then to invest it in others. If we invest it well, God will be given much glory. So how are you handling your inheritance? Let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Thank you.
been given an amazing inheritance. So invest that inheritance well. Grow in Christ. Grow in your faith. And then share that faith with others. And God will be given the glory. Have a happy new year and go in Christ's peace. Amen.